Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with podcast number 98, Cadence, the Magic Bullet. I'm sure you've heard the saying, the devil is in the details. Well, I'd say if you'll just focus for a bit on cadence, you just may discover that the secret is in this one often overlooked detail. A couple of reminders first. I've been doing lots of phone conferences lately, and I feel like it's really helping many of my listeners. A phone conference is just a coaching conference or a coaching call. If you'd like to schedule a coaching conference, just go to mojoforrunning.com and click coaching call in the menu. A 30-minute conference is just $50. If you don't have a coach, just this one phone call may make a huge difference in your success. It can give you direction, help you solve a problem, or assist you in making racing plans or training plans. This is how it works. First, you fill out an online form, which is on the page that you land on when you click coaching call in the menu. This form is critical because it gives me background information about you, your goals, your current fitness level, past or current injuries, and more. This information helps to make the call more efficient because I can think about your situation before we even talk. Plus, it saves time because it would take time for me to ask those same questions during the call. When I receive that form, I email you to arrange a time for the call. Once we've confirmed a time, I send an invoice. That's all there is to it. Now, on to our discussion of cadence, which is also known as leg turnover. I imagine it seems like I harp on this topic a lot, but please hear me out. There's a reason, really. Sometimes in life, it is the details that make the critical difference that results in the outcome you've been seeking and missing. Such just might be the case for you as regards cadence. It may be the one thing that moves you off that running plateau, or brings you that long-sought PR, or it just might mean you can toss that knee brace, the one you've been wearing for years, or you may no longer have achy knees or stiff knees. Every time I speak to a group about running, cadence is one of the main topics we discuss. Whether I'm responding to a question about shin splints, how to break through a running plateau, an untraditional yet very effective way to improve speed, a way to eliminate or ease knee pain, a way to make running easier for newbies, a way to reduce the likelihood of any running injury, or a method to make it easier to build endurance. I always explain how cadence may be the magic bullet. Almost every runner will benefit from working on cadence, and I think every runner needs to practice it regularly. Let's break it down. This is what it is. Cadence, C-A-D-E-N-C-E, is the pace at which your feet hit the ground. We measure cadence by counting how many times your feet hit the ground in the span of 1 minute. Ideal is considered to be 180, but that, of course, is somewhat arbitrary. For you, you may never get it above 170, but if you're at 150 now, that's a huge difference. We want to get it to at least 175, though. Since I've already published several podcast episodes about cadence, I won't go into too much detail. I'll just cover the main concepts. If you want to hear those episodes about cadence, they are episode number 27 and 28. Yeah, two whole episodes already. Then I did a third episode, number 32, about metronomes. A metronome is simply a device traditionally used by musicians to keep the beat. It makes a sound, a click or a beat, to mark a rhythm. You might have seen one sometime at the top of a piano. That's where I always used to see them. Well, now it's easy to purchase an electronic one, and they make clip-on ones that are made specifically for runners. It's about an inch square and costs about $30. You can buy them from Amazon. You can actually get one for under $10, but I would advise against it. I bought several of those lesser expensive ones at one point for my coaching group, and they were junk. Some of them never worked, and the rest of them didn't last even 3 months. Some of them didn't last a month. Pay for the $30 one by Seiko. That's the one I recommend. Anyway, in episode 32, I recorded my metronome at several different settings just so you could listen and experiment. Now, you can get an app for your smartphone that works pretty well as a metronome as well. Anyway, do this exercise to learn your typical cadence. I mean your current cadence now when you're out running at an easy conversational pace. I just think it's fun and satisfying to quantify your improvements. And to do that, you need to know your starting point. To determine your current cadence, warm up for a mile or so. Then set your watch or phone to time you for 1 minute. Start running. After a few steps, start your timer and count your foot strikes, both feet, for the duration of that time. Or you could, of course, just count 1 foot when 1 foot hits the ground and then double it. That will give you a starting point. That tells you your current cadence. Running with high cadence around 180 will do the following things for your running. It will help you to be light on your feet. The slower your cadence, the more time your feet spend on the ground, which is not good. Equally important, it means you're running heavily, having a tendency to pound, which is much harder on your body. When you're running that way, it's like you're running right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. Well, of course, everybody runs from their right foot to their left foot, but what I want you to do is think of a spinning motion like on a bike, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, quickly like that. You want to be as light as a feather, and no matter what your weight, you can be. I did a whole podcast episode about being light on your feet. That podcast is episode number 83, titled Stop the Pounding, How to Be Lighter on Your Feet. And there are several different examples of drills that you can do. Higher cadence absolutely is one. It is always something that will make you lighter on your feet. Appropriate cadence of around 180 foot strikes per minute will make you faster at all effort levels. And I should stop here for a minute and clarify a very important point, because it's probably the most misunderstood element of cadence. And that is, the idea is to always run with essentially the same cadence at all speeds. I say essentially because the one time when you may increase it is when you're speeding up near the finish line of a race or in a shorter race like a 5K. In those races, you might be going at 190 or 195. Especially when you're coming up on the finish line. Otherwise, always keep it at around 180. This is good when you're warming up, when you're running at an easy pace, or when you're running at a conversational pace. This is where people get confused. They think fast cadence means running fast, but that's not it. You can do a very slow warm-up with very small steps, but still at a 180 cadence. Most often, when I work with people and I turn on the metronome for them to listen to the first time and they hear what 180 steps a minute would be like, their reaction is that that's impossibly fast. As a result, sometimes people tell me that they just can't do it because they can't run that fast. When I hear that, I know they don't understand. If people feel 180 requires them to run fast, then their strides, their steps, are too long. I always teach 180 cadence, and I have my beginner runners, even people who can't run a quarter of a mile yet, use 180 cadence. They too think it's impossibly fast until I demonstrate that they can make it very easy with very small steps. They all manage it. In fact, they all do fine with it. Here's how you get over the idea that it's too fast. You run in place, not lifting your knees high, just trotting in place until your steps match the beat of the metronome at 180. You'll see very quickly that it's absolutely doable. Once you've been running in place, say 15 to 20 seconds, then gradually let your steps get bigger until you're running. I suggest stopping to perform this drill several times each time you go out to run. In fact, a good way to get accustomed to it in the beginning is to set a timer to go off every 2 minutes. Then, each time it goes off, you stop and run in place again, matching your steps to the metronome, and then expand your strides to start running, but staying with the beat of the metronome. Eventually, you'll only need to do this once in a while to check your cadence, because it'll become automatic. That's the idea. Now, moving on to the other benefits of high cadence. High cadence will greatly reduce the frequency of running injuries. If you've had a few running injuries, this may completely prevent them in the future. The reason for that is that shorter strides tend to prevent overstriding, which is when your feet strike the ground in front of your center of gravity. And it causes you to land with a bent knee, and that's absolutely essential in preventing injury. When your knee is bent, it acts as a shock absorber. The joint flexes, which is what you want. It avoids that bone-on-bone that you get when you land with a locked-out knee. You never want that. Now, I want to emphasize one valuable but most understood point about cadence. Here's a question I've received from a listener named Tara. I went for a run today and tested my leg turnover. I also downloaded a metronome app so I could pace myself at 180. I have something that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around and was hoping you could help. If your leg turnover should be 180 at an easy pace as well as at a race pace, then what is the difference that is making you run faster? I might feel silly after you answer, but for now, I'm puzzled. Hopefully, you now know the answer to that question from what I've already explained, just from what I've said. It is the difference in the size of the step that determines how fast you're going, not the 180. The 180 stays the same. Remember, to try running in place, to get the hang of 180 and then gradually extend your steps until you're running. Just keep it at a relatively small step for a while to keep your pace easy. But if you're an experienced runner, then expand the steps until it's a level that is a good effort level for you. And by that, I mean an effort that lets you run at a pace, at the pace that you have planned for that specific workout. When you want to go faster, just take bigger steps, but don't ever let your cadence drop below 180. Even if your steps when doing 180 are never as big as they were before you started running at 180 or about there, that's okay, because I guarantee you'll be faster at the same level of effort. But an added benefit is that you'll be running more fluidly, more comfortably, more naturally. So to sum it up, you can do 180 at warm-up pace or easy conversational run pace or any race pace. At the upper end, if you're really trying to go fast, you can ramp it up to 190 or 195. As long as you maintain a high cadence, you'll avoid overstriding. That's it. Cadence really is the secret bullet. I promise. People tell me all the time that when they worked on their cadence, everything changed for the better. Just a reminder, if you're on Instagram, please follow me at Mojo for Running. Now, welcome to our new Mojo Coaching Program members, Betsy, Deborah, Wanda, and William. Thank you to these contributors, Kim, Daniel, and Linda. Kim buys me a cup of coffee for every episode, and believe me, that is a big deal to me. I get many thousands of downloads for each episode, somewhere between 4,000 and 8,000, which is great, outstanding. But just remember, these are free, and I've been doing this for 6 years. If you appreciate this podcast, how about jumping on the bandwagon? At least just, I'm asking for a cup of coffee every month or so. Really, all you need to do is go to mojoforrunning.com, and in the right sidebar, you'll see a place that says, Support This Podcast. It's a picture of a cup of coffee. If you click that button, you'll be taken to a page where you can click to make a donation. When you make that donation, you are sending me a message. You are saying, Deb, I appreciate the time you put into these podcasts. Please keep them coming. This is not a subscription. It's just a one-time donation. The payment is processed through PayPal, but you don't need a PayPal account to contribute. There's a place that says, Don't have a PayPal account. If you click there, it allows you to make a contribution with any credit card. Now, here is today's quote. It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. That's from John Wooden.